people from the 9th and 10th centuries on. So therefore, it's safe to conclude that it was written somewhere between the 5th and the 9th century. Maybe we can narrow it down even further. It deals with various topics, but what I would like to read, to go through with you tonight, again, we will do this almost speed reading of texts in order to get some feel for what's going on. So we'll go through Pesukim Yud through Yud Dalet, again, to get some feel for the text. So here's the first page of handouts. That's each of these 20 pages. So when we get through with each one of these pages, we'll then go on to the next page. So this is Higger's edition of the Masechet Sotrim. There's no Rashi or Rashbam on this. There's 20th century commentary like Higger and others, and I just simply cut it out so it's all on one page. This would extend over about 40 pages if you include it all. But my Xerox budget being limited, I therefore cut it all out. So, and there are variations in the text. This is one particular text. So Moshe hikni lahem liYisrael. Now we have some long interpolation as to what the word hikni means. Strange word. Hitrah. The word hitrah has really no real significance here in this context either. It's not a mekaneh b'gad ishto. So the words are mekaneh lal tishnein u'mashkeh lal tiyerechad she'en ha'kaya pachot tishnein she'en ha'olamah lo etrito el ha'liyachat ha'izit ha'mah lo etrito. Okay? All of that is a parenthetical remark as to what the strange word Hikni means, Hikni lahem liYisrael, shiyu koreim b'Torah b'Shabbatot u'b'yamim tovim u'Roshei Chodeshim u'Mechalot Shomoyim. So that the reading of the Torah was established by Moshe on all of the holidays. Shene'emar v'yedaver Moshe et Mordei Adonai el b'nei Yisrael. Ezra tiken lahem liYisrael, shiyu koreim b'Torah b'Sheni u'b'Chamishi u'b'Shabbat Mincha. So the Masechet Sofrim sort of contradicts the final conclusion of the Gemara and Rava Kama. The Gemara and Rava Kama says, "Tikein Ezra, shekorin b'mincha, shekorin b'sheni v'chamishi, v'danin b'sheni v'chamishi, v'chapsin b'chamishi v'shabbat, v'ofrin shum me'arav shabbat, v'shetehei isha nashkemet v'olfa, v'shetehei isha chogeret v'sina, v'shetehei isha chofefet v'dovelet, v'shetehei yorot, etc." So the Gemara says, "V'sheyu b'korin b'sheni b'chamishi ezrati kein ha'me'ikara hayom mitkana." The idea of reading during the Mondays and Thursdays antedates Ezra. The Tanya v'yelchu shloshet yamin b'amidbar v'lo matzu mayim. They went for 3 days in the midbar and didn't find water. Dorshei v'shumot amru ein mayim ela Torah she'ne'amar ha'ikol tzameh l'chul ha'mayim. Kevan shalchu shloshet yamin b'lo Torah nilu. עמדו נביאים שביניהם ותקנו להם שיקורים בשבת ומפסיקים ביחד בשבת וקורים בשני ומפסיקים שלישי ורביעי וקורים בחמישי ומפסיקים ערב שבת כדי שלא יעלינו 3 ימים ולא מטרה. So that therefore from this medrash the implication is that the custom of reading the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays goes back before the time of Ezra. So the Gemara has some inconclusive answer. They would only have one person reading 3 psukim. Oh, nami tlata gavri tlata psuki, or 3 people would read 3 psukim. Keneged kohani levim v'yisraeli atahu tikein tlata gavri v'asara psukim keneged asara batlani. In other words, according to the Gemara Bava Kama, what Ezra did was to modify or firm up or re-establish the idea of reading on Mondays and Thursdays, but actually goes before. The Masechet Sotrim doesn't quote all of that, but quotes just the original discussion on the Gemara, which says that this was an act of Ezra. Amar Rav Yehuda, Makom, or wait, excuse me, Ve'ein Bein Shabbat V'Yom HaKippurim Ela Shezezi Donovi Deya Ein Bein Yom Tov Shabbat Ela Ochel Nefesh Bilvad ואין בין שבת ויום הכיפורים אלא שזה זידונו בידי אדם וזה זידונו בהכרת. No, this is just an addition. Since they mentioned Yom Tov and Yom Kippurim and Shabbat, all the different Moedim were mentioned, they point out what is the difference between the two. Actually, they'll have some application a bit later as to the number of Tovim. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Makom shemapsikim b'Shabbat Shacharit, Sham Karim b'Mincha, u'b'Sheini, u'b'Hamishi, u'b'Shabbat Abaha. Now remember, when we learned the Gemara in Megillah, this was a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, the reading was continuous. That is, you'd read Shabbat, and then on Mincha, you'd continue on from where you stopped that Shabbat, and then the following Monday, you'd continue on from where you stopped in Mincha, and then from Thursday, you'd continue on from where you stopped on Monday, and then the following Shabbat, you'd continue on from where you stopped on Thursday. That was Rabbi Meir's opinion.
No pressure altogether.
In other words, you were just the continuous reading of the Torah wasn't every Shabbat, but was continuous throughout the year. So whenever you would read the Torah, read for Shabbat, unless there was an exceptional Shabbat where you stopped the normal reading, the procedure was just to continue from where you stopped before. That was a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. That's what we learned last week. So this issue had not yet been settled. A generation and a half after Rabbi Akiva, still there was a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to how the continuous reading of the Torah was to take place. Do you just keep going, or do you do like we do today, which is just go continuously, but on Shabbatot only, and Mondays and Thursdays is a preview of coming attractions. The Tosefta also simply quotes Rabbi Yehuda, but leaves it ambiguous. That is, Rabbi Yehuda says that in the language of the Tosefta, Rabbi Yehuda says that you return to the reading of the next parsha, the next Shabbat. In other words, if you finished Noach on a particular Shabbat, then the next Shabbat you're going to read Lech Lecha. But what you would read in the middle, in other words, what you would read them, Monday and Thursday, do you keep reading like we do today? Start from the And is there some other program that we may be looking at? So according to the language of the Tosefta, it would be conceivable that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, say you finish Noach on Shabbat, then you would start Lech Lecha, the beginning of Lech Lecha on Mincha. Then the following Monday, you would continue where you left off in Lech Lecha from Mincha and Shabbat's reading. And then on Thursday, you would get up to, say, the Shlishi or Revi, wherever you managed to get up to, and then you jump back. But the idea that you continuously repeat three times during the week Mincha on Shabbat, and then Monday, and then Thursday, all the same, was not clear from the statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Tosefta. But already by the time of the Gemara and by the time of the Masechet Sofrim, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda has not only been accepted, but it's been congealed into what our current practice is, namely that you repeat the beginning of the next parsha each of the three intervening days. Okay? All right. The Sheini Uba Hamishi Uva Shabbat Mincha Koin Shlosha Ain Pochatin Mehem Vein Mosikim Aleihem Vein Maftirim Benavi Hapoteach Vachotein Batara Mavarech Lefaneha Uli Achra. This is, of course, exactly what we learned in the Mishnah in Megillah last week. Uva Rashei Chadashim Uva Cholosha Moed Koin Arba'a Ain Pochatin Mehem Vein Mosikim Aleihem Ve'ein maftirin benavi. Hapoteach b'hatem b'taram v'arech l'faneho u'liachra. So this is again exactly like the language of the Mishnah. Zeh haklal kol sheyesh bo musaf ve'ein bo yom tov koin arba'a. V'yom tov chamisha, v'yom ha'kippurim shisha, v'yom ha'shabbat shiva, ein pochtim mehem aval mosifim aleihem. And the Masechet Sofrim gives a reason. Yom Tov the Isur Lav Chamisha, Yom HaKippurim the Isur Karet Shisha, שבת איסור סקילה שבה ומחתירים בנביא, הפוחי תה אחר חותם ותורו מברך לפניה עולי אחרה. According to this, even according to this language, apparently, even on Yom Tov, you can have more than a prescribed number. But our Gemara doesn't support that, but only has the Mosikim Aleihem referring to Shabbat. But also, we see again, this was a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbi Akiva, you only read 6 on Shabbat and 7 on Yom Kippur. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's our current practice of reading 7 on Shabbat and 6 on Yom Kippur. And again, the Masechet Sofrim takes for granted that the halacha is like Rabbi Yishmael on this regard, like Am Yishmael. Okay? Ein parsin al shma, that is, you don't make the brachot, the balfu, etc. Lo bi yeshiva ve lo ba amida, that is, you don't make the brachot kriya shma before the kriya shma, that is, the Yotze HaMa'os or the Avo Rabo Yotze Oro Barachoshach, you don't say that in advance, or you don't say the Brachot of God Yisrael after Kriyat Shema. The first is referred to the Pores Al Shema of Yeshiva, and the afterwards are the ones of Amidah. Ve'ein Ovrin Lefnei HaTeva, you don't have a person daven before the Amid for Shema Esrei. Ve'ein no sinat kapehen, and there's no birchat kohanim. Ve'ein korin b'torah. Ve'ein maftirin b'navi. Ve'ein osim ma'amad u'moshav al anashim. You don't, in the funeral practice, what they used to do was stop 7 times as a sign of honor for the dead person. Kol shekein anashim she'ein osim ma'amad u'moshav al anashim altogether. Ve'ein omum kadish u'vachu pachot me'asara. So this is a statement that you're not allowed to do any of these things that require a minyan. All of these things that count as a version of a davar shebekdusha or something similar require 10. Ve'avoteinu sheba ma'arav omrim oto b'sheva. Okay. Ve'notnim ta'am l'divrehem. The Rabotenu Sheva Ma'arav, that is the custom in Israel, and it's Israel as opposed to the custom in Babel, was to rely on 7. What is the 7 referred to? What does 7 mean here? Do we have a Gemara Megillah somewhere? What is this word 7 referred to? Tosfos assumes that 7 doesn't refer to this. What is the simple reading of the text? The simple reading of the text is where we require a minyan of 10, they require less, 7, right?
Who requires a minyan of 7?
In the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the Rabbanim in Babel, allowed you to get away with 7 instead of 10.
For a minyan?
Yeah, that's what it says. It's very surprising. It was not only surprising to you, it was surprising to Rabbeinu Tam, as we'll see in a moment. So you should not feel alone in being surprised by this. Quotes are mesepotopian. Well, okay, Shiva. Ma'arav omrim b'shiva v'notin tam l'divrehem v'ktiv b'chor kol Yisrael, etc. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam, being as shocked as you are about the idea that you can get by with less than 10 for a minyan.
Where did they get the Torah for 7?
Well, that's what they're saying. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with you that it's so outrageous to have an idea that you're going to have less than 10, that this 7 doesn't refer to 7 people, but refers to 7 people who need Stadavim yet. If you come in late to shul, and you haven't heard Bochu, and everybody else has heard Bochu, you're out of luck. But if there's 7 people who haven't heard Bochu, you don't need a full 10, you have 10 people in shul.
Plus 3 who are already heard.
Right? If you have 7, plus 3 who have already heard, then it's enough.
So how did they get the 6?
Well, we'll see in a minute. Let's see what it says here. That's how Rabbeinu Tam is interpreted. This ain't par sin al shma lo bi yeshiva ve lo ba midah, etc., etc. Rabbeinu sheba ma'arav omrim oto b'shiva ve notnim ta'am l'divrehem. They quote the words in the beginning of the shir, Shirat Dvorah, b'fro'a pra'ot b'Yisrael b'tna'dei am b'chu Hashem. There's 7 words in that opening poem, and therefore, kiminyan hatevot, like the number of words that are in that poem. V'yesh omim afilu b'shisha, shebarchum shishi. that you have enough to get to Bochu with six. Since there are only six words before, up to and including Bochu, six are enough. Okay? Ulamakom sheyesh sham tish'a o asara sheshamu bein Bochu, bein Kaddish, uliachar tefila amar dechad shelo shema b'fnei elu v'yamar Bochu o Kaddish v'anu alay machrov yatsa yedei chavato. So you see, this contradicts exactly Rabbi Natan's explanation. Because there, here, the Sechet Sofrim seems to be saying explicitly that you only need one. If you come into shul late and you haven't heard, you're the only one, as long as you have a full-fledged minyan, it's enough. So here's a tshuva of the Ravash that discusses exactly this point. Od sha'alta. Also, if you ask, Im mutar l'shliach tzibur l'chos al hashma, im hitpalalut par rov hatzibur. Can someone go up and daven before the oven when most of the people in the shul have already davened? L'fisha matzata katuv v'msechet sofrim, she'im ein shisha shelo hitpalalu, ein shliach tzibur yachol l'chos. You heard in Masechet Sofrim that it says that if there are not six people who haven't been daven, then you can't have someone go up in front of the other. The samchu zel of sot before paot she'achar chamishat teivot katuv balku. That's the Masechet Sofrim. Tshuva. Rabbeinu Tam Zal omer kedvarech. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with you, Shemafaresh Dahani Zayin Uvav Sheskiru Bumsechet Sofrim, La Rabbeinu Shivama Arav, Uliyesh Omrim, Ritzono Lomar, Shelo Shamu Kaddish Uvoku. The Elu Zayin Uvav, Ben Kulam, Yachlokim Mishnotenu Shulperik Vata Dengila, Tani Ein Parsim Al Shmam, Pachot Miasara. Because if you give it an other interpretation, you would have to conclude that this statement in the Sechet Sofrim disagrees with all of the other Gemaras that we have, who are very rigid about the requirement of 10. Aval kashe ledvarav, mash shesimu sham b'msechet Sofrim k'lashon hazeh, ובמקום שיש תשעה ששמעו בין ברכו בין קדיש וליחר התפילה עמד האחד בפני אלו ויאמר קדיש וברכו וענו עליו אחריו יצא ידי חלבתו. על כן גם תלמידי רשי אמרו משנו שאפילו בשביל אחד פורסים אין שם. Therefore the students of Rashi agree, take the opinion of this Masechet Sofrim, who says that even if there is only one person who hasn't yet davened, you can count the other nine to get a minute. Afal pi shekol hashar kashpar shavu kadish yivarchu kdusha, v'afilu hu atzmo karat hashma pores kedei sheyomar kadish yivarchu kdusha. Uraya milashon v'sechet sofrim shehizkarti. U'mize omrim k'tzat mirabotenu zal, ki ma shehayu nohagim rabotenu shebamarav, haya afilu ein bein kulam ela sheva o shisha. V'cholkim al ha-talmud b'zeh. And that this statement in the Masechet Sofrim disagrees with the widely accepted view that you need to have 10 per minute. Ukemoshe etkilu sham eno mun kadish v'alchu b'pachot mi'asara, rabotenu shebamara b'kuri. Da'alma mashma da rabotenu shebamara v'cholkim bazeh, she'ein matzukim bein kulam ela shiva o shisha. V'lo kaimelon hafi ela kemishna kematnitin. Rosh Zal Hiskim Ladat Rashi Vachem Nireh She Natal Zaharan Zal Uperek Ha'alacha. In other words, what he is saying is that we accept the opinion of the Masechet Sofrim that if there's just one person around who hasn't heard Bochu yet, he can get up and say Bochu and fulfill his duties, even if the already remaining nine people have heard Bochu. But we will interpret, that forces us to interpret the Masechet Sofrim to mean that the Rabotenu Sheba Ma'arav accept a quorum, a minyan of six or seven, and he lives with that. He doesn't find this so outrageous. We don't agree with that. We follow the Gemara. We follow the opinion of Bavel. But apparently, his interpretation of this passage in the Masechet Sofrim is the simple-minded interpretation that in order that according to the Rabbeinu Shimon Ma'arav, six or seven people are enough to get away.
Okay.
Let's go on.
Here's some of that stuff. How could this be? And pardon.
Well, since he didn't believe in the end part of it, he was able to strike out the end part and therefore reinterpret the beginning. But then Tam was quite capable of that. He has strong opinions. Okay? All right, let's go further. Ukvar hitkinu chachamim lachazanim. And already the Chachamim made a takana for the Chazanim. So here we see the Chazan HaKnesset being used in our current usage of that word. I mean, I don't think that we find it much earlier in that sense, but the Chazan means someone who is davening for the Yomim. But so this is one of the earlier usages of that word in this regard. V'kvar hitkinu Chachamim l'chazanim l'omar li'achar gu'ula Yehi Shem Hashem Uvarach Me'atavi Adolam V'achor Bachort Hashem Uvarach. In other words, the people who will be straggling into shul and will have missed Baruch Hu. So therefore, before Shmon Esrei, after saying Ga'al Yisrael, they would put in an extra pasuk and say Baruch Hu. Kedei Latzik Otam Shelo Shamu. The Amar of Yochanan, Halavai Yitalel Adam Kol Olam Kula. In other words, the Chachamim Shel Sheba Ma'arav, or at least the Chachamim that this Masechet Sofrim is quoting, because immediately he's going to quote from Ma'arav a different custom, were not makpid on the issue of not being mafsik ben geula l'tfilah, something that we take as a very serious matter. And in fact, just the opposite, when there would be people who would straggle in late after shul, having missed Baruch Hu, but got there before Shmon Esrei, you'd say an additional Baruch Hu for them.
Between geula and tfilah.
Right. That's what he says. I'm not making it up. It's right there. Okay. V'nahagu anshei ma'arav v'anshei mizrach, but the broad spectrum of communities, la'omro li'achar oseh ha'shalom, v'shlosha tfilot shel shmona asrei. They would say this extra Baruch Hu after the shmona asrei, in mincha as well. Gzeira mishuma nitnasim v'hayotzim. In order to help the people that came in late. How it helps the people go out early, I don't know, but it's a standard formula. Right. Sometimes they would say this Baruch Hu even after the Kriya. Ula'aniya, period. Okay? Ula'inyan kidyat karpa'ot. Now that the Masechet Sofrim has mentioned the need for a tent, it brings here an anachronism. What this has to do with anything that was current at the time of the Masechet Sofrim is weird, but it says that this figure of 10 is required also if someone dedicates a piece of his land to the Beit HaMikdash, or a person dedicates a body, human person himself to the Beit HaMikdash, and needs Pidyon Karka or Pidyon Adam, you require also 10, including one Kohen. So this is obviously something that's completely out of place as far as the time of the Masechet Sofrim. Okay?
But there was no place of Mikdash.
Right. This is much later.
So what's this, about 400 after?
Probably 6-ish.
Six.
But we're not sure. Somewhere, we discussed this at the beginning before you came in.
Before Ravina Ravashi?
This is after Ravina Ravashi, probably. Yeah, but it's probably not much after. So we don't know exactly when this was after. HaKorei BaTorah Lo Yichot Mishlosha Pesukim V'lo Yikra L'Mitrugaman Yoter Mipasuk Echad. We learned this in the Megillah Megillah last week as well. That each person reads at least 3 Pesukim, and he should not read more than one pasuk at a time to allow the translator a chance. Remember, the translator wasn't looking in the text, so he had to remember what the person that was reading from the Torah said and then translate it. And if he got too huge a chunk to translate, then he would forget what he was supposed to say. So therefore, as far as Kriyat HaTorah was concerned, you only read one pasuk at a time.
Couldn't look at the text because there would be too many
people around, and one text, you know, you didn't have printed chumashim. There was one Sefer Torah, yeah. Maybe. The im of a navi shlosha. Yeah, the Metagim, since we're not that careful about losing a word or two in the translation of the Navi, they allowed three psukim. The im shlashtam shalosh parshiyot, but if these refer to three separate topics, kawin echad echad. Kigon ki ko amar Hashem, chinam nemkartem, ki ko amar Hashem elokim mitzrayim yoradim ivo rishona, v'yata mal yipolim Hashem, three consecutive psukim in Yeshayahu, which refer to rather different topics, if the topics are so extremely different to confuse the mind of the translator, then you break that up into three. Okay? Now, Tani, Iyo she'ein ba'korin ela echad, suppose you have a shul in which there's only one person capable of reading.
Well, maybe the only one who can do the aliyah.
So he's the only one. So what should he do? So here the Masechet Tzofim says, "Hu korei kol hakriyot." He will read all seven. For instance, if it's Shabbat, uvilvad sheyeshev ben kriya lekriya. But he should sit down and then call him, get called up again, sit down and get called up again in between.
And one bracha before and
then. Yeah, the implication here is that there's one bracha before and one bracha afterwards, because if he would be making, if everybody would make a separate bracha on all of the parshiyot, then you wouldn't need him to sit down and stand up. You need something here to give an indication that this is a separate, that he's playing a role like the Kohen who's doing, there's no Levi, like a Bimkom. So the implication from here is that they still were in a regime in which, at least not always, did they have a bracha lefanahu liyakara. Not every person that was called up to the Torah would normally make a bracha in advance and afterwards. When we get to the next parak in the Masechet Tzofim, we'll see in more detail that what actually the situation is here is somewhere in between what we saw in the Mishnah, namely that the first person made a bracha and the last person made a bracha, and nobody in between made a bracha. That is, the first person made a bracha l'chaneha, and the last person made a bracha l'achreha, and nobody in between said anything. Our current custom, which is mentioned in the Gemara as our current custom, right? V'ha'idna, the Gemara says, is each person who gets called up makes his own bracha. We will see from examples in the next parakeet of Masechet Tzofim that the custom there seemed to have been that in general it was like the Mishnah, that the first person made the first bracha and the last person made the last bracha and nobody in between made any brachot. But for certain special distinguished parshiyot which had some intrinsic importance, then they would single them out by making a bracha l'chaneha u'liyakra. So it was sort of intermediate between the Mishnah's custom and ours custom.
They also did all of their own laning. They did.
Person did his own laning.
So if they weren't capable, then you couldn't call
them. Yeah, we'll see that also. But here at the moment, there was only one person who could read, and he would therefore be the only person that would be called up, because as you say, each person did his own laning. Medalgin b'navi, ve'ein medalgin b'torah. You're allowed to skip over certain passages in the reading of the Navi, but not in the Torah. Lefi, shegolalin Navi v'rabim, ve'en golalin sefer Torah
l'rabim.
There will be, but medalgin v'Navi, ve'en medalgin v'Torah, lefi shegolalin Navi v'rabim, ve'en golalin sefer Torah l'rabim. It doesn't quite say why. The simplest explanation is that it shouldn't be a distraction, take too much time out of the tzibur, or it might be that it's not a kavod for the Torah to keep turning from one passage to another. Either of these alternatives isn't clear. Rabbi Yosef Patala, Kedon Shahaita HaParshah Ktana. He says, that's no explanation. What if the skip is a little one? In other words, suppose you're just reading some small portion anyway. So he says that therefore the interpretation of this business of Ein Medalgin B'Torah has nothing to do with the issues of rolling or unrolling, being Goleil or not being Goleil, the Sefer Torah, but rather has a different interpretation. Kedei Sheyishmu Yisrael Et HaTorah Al HaSeder. The idea of not skipping is that the Torah should be read continuously from beginning to end. If you allow someone to skip a portion, then he's not going to read that particular portion of the Torah. Okay? V'hotaninan kolin bi'achrei mot v'ach ba'asol. That's a fairly large jump from in the reading of Yom HaKippurim. Shniyahi shehu seder shal yom. Tegal achar Rav Shimon Lakish omer v'kol makom inu korei al peh. V'kan hu korei al peh. They allowed the reader to, instead of turning up to the ach ba'asol, the parsha, to read that al peh. That's not our custom. Rabbi Yossi, okay. But the one thing that I want to emphasize here is the implication, perhaps, of this discussion of reading the whole Torah al HaSeder. The implication here is that perhaps that also was not always the ancient custom. In other words, if the explanation of skipping, not skipping the Torah is not to waste the time of the Tzibur, then perhaps it's because at one time or other they did not read the Torah continuously from beginning to end, just like we don't read the Nevi'im continuously from beginning to end. I'm just throwing that out as a suggestion at the moment. We'll amplify on that a lot more in the coming shiur. Okay. Rabbi Yossi having mafakeid l'Rav Ula hazana deknishta de Bablai. He apparently the Bablai had their own Beit Knesset here. Where was this? In Tzipori, I suppose. So there was a New York synagogue in Jerusalem. Okay. Kad hi chada oraita. When there was one Sefer Torah available, Tehegai la achurei peruchta. You should simply roll it up when you have to pass from one reading to another in front of the Aron HaKodesh. V'chadinu ta'oti, when you had two Sefer Torah, if the shul was rich enough to afford two Sefer Torah, Tehei movil chada umayti chad. They would put one back in the Aron and take out the second. So again, this is not like our custom. When they would have two Sefrei Torah and they would be reading out of both Sefrei Torah, after they'd finished reading from the first Sefer Torah, they would put it back in the Aron HaKodesh and then take the second Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh and read from it, as opposed to our custom where we take them all out at once and put them all back together at once.
I don't think the synagogue does it that way.
Yeah, but not in the time of the Masechet Sofrim. In the Babylonian synagogue, in Tzipori, the instruction was to take one out and put the other back in. Okay. Ad Heichan, until what was considered a large enough gap? And now here again we have a textual difference in various readings. What we have here is Amar Avacha Gedon Parshat Yehoyada Kohen. In the two mentions of Yehoyada HaKohen and Malachim Beis, the difference between these two things is very small. I could not find the Malachim Beis here anywhere in the show. So Danny, I think you should organize a committee that they should have at least one copy of Malachim in the show at various times. But in any event, I wasn't able to locate a complete Tanakh here in the show, not to say Malachim Beis, which I was looking for that. 10 minutes before the shiur. But in any event, the gap between the two passages in Malachim Beis, which is the end of Perek Yud Aleph and the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, where two different stories of Yehoyada Kohen are mentioned, what's being skipped are about four psukim in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. So that's a really small gap, and anything beyond that is considered a Tircha D'Tzibur. So certainly even your question, Dr. Isserl, about the reading on the Tanya Tzibur would be problematical. Others interpret this to give you a little bit more leeway of the gap in which the Kohen Gadol would make in his reading, which is a lot longer. Achazan sha'ya karei b'Torah b'Shabbat pachot mi'sheva kriyot. Suppose the Chazan decided to finish up and start the Machir, he forgot, he lost count. He thought that he had seven and he really only had six or five. V'shachach kasavu shakara sheva yachzor v'yikra v'yimale sheva kriyot v'yaktir v'shmini. So he has seven full-scale readers and an eighth person who says the Machir. U'vilvad shiye keseder eshim v'yachad psukim. And he came l'chol korei v'korei shlosha shlosha. That you should, every person should get again the bare minimum, the, at least the minimum of three psukim.
The additional seven?
No, just fulfill the seven.
Fulfill. He knows what Rashi means.
Well, if he doesn't, then he better catch up. Well, someone must have called his attention.
You doing the reading, or each of the people?
Each of the people is doing the reading, but he's calling them up.
Well, he's not taking the time.
Right. But you may be right. It may be from the language that he's doing the reading, and you have, in contrast to what Mr. Weinstein said before, that you might see a transition here where one person is actually doing the reading. Because here, as you say, the implication is that the Chazan is doing the reading. The one thing I do want to point out is that the reading of this parsha is small. In other words, you're having the size of the parsha of being approximately 21 or 25 or 30 or something, much smaller than any of our parsha. So this is evidence for what we saw. I don't remember, did we mention it last week? The Gemara in
3 years.
Megillah said that they had 3 year cycles. The implication here is that this is going according to a 3 year cycle. Also, something that I should have pointed out last week is that I don't know if any of you have one of the scholarly editions of the Tanakh, of the Chumash. In other words, Kasuto's edition, or the Caracalli edition, or Christian D. Ginsburg's edition, which is Joseph Chaim's edition, the original Bamberg edition. In all of these texts, again, I didn't see any one of these Chumashim here in Shul, but some of you may have them at home, you will notice that on the side of the text, every now and then you'll see a samach. I'm not talking about the samach that's in between the parsha, which stands stuma versus pshuta, that is the small versus the large parsha, but rather there's an additional samach that occurs ever so often. Some total of, say, 45 of them, or 43 according to a different text in Bereshit, for example. And these are part of what was still existing in the major biblical codexes that people were transcribing from. And we have these codexes going back to the 12th to the 11th centuries, I guess. The 12th century is about the earliest that we have. These signs are still the remnant signs of the Sdarim of the three-year cycle. In other words, if you look, you'll see after Bereshit, and then the next to Eila Toldot Shamayim Ba'aretz V'Yibaram, in other words, after Vayichal Hashem, etc., etc., Hashem Ba'aretz Kim La'asot, you find now a little Samach, which means that the first Shabbat they read only up until the end of Vayichal, and then in the next Shabbat they would read Eilu Toldot Shamayim Ba'aretz. Similarly, Noach would be broken up into the portion just before the flood, and then during the flood, and so on. So again, you don't have any of those Chumash in here, but those of you who have scholarly editions will see that indeed the Sdarim were relatively short. There's a variable number of these Sdarim, and the traditions that we seem to be getting down are somewhere between, I think the smallest number is about 141, the most typical number is something like 152 or 154, and there's some of them which are 160 or 167. So even 154 is too much for 3 years. And therefore, there's a huge debate amongst the various scholars who are concerned with this as to whether, when the Gemara mentions that there was a three-year cycle, and remember, if we mentioned last week, the Rambam also mentioned the existence of this three-year cycle. He cites some obscure communities in Egypt which still were reading the Torah on the basis of a three-year cycle. And Binyamin of Tudela also mentions in his travels having come across the notion that communities were really on these three-year cycles. But whether they were exactly 3 years, whether they were two times every 7 years, or whether they were approximately 3 years, and when this three-year cycle started, did it start always in Tishrei, or was it really not a three-year cycle? Even if it was an exactly a three-year cycle, it could have started maybe in Nisan. If it wasn't an exactly three-year cycle, obviously it had a variable starting point, and that Simchat Torah was therefore celebrated by different communities at different times of the year. All of this is a matter of still debate amongst the scholars who are trying to sort this out. Yeah, but I mean, here you might have had very small ones. Like we have extremely small parshiyos, right? Towards the end.
Unless this represents the thing that they just continue, they left off, continued 21 and Shabbos 21.
Yeah, but that's not the opinion here. The opinion here of the Sefer Sofrim is like Rabbi Yehuda, who said they start all over again, and that's Shabbat. And in fact, yes.
Then it's been retired.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. No, first of all, it's not clear that they ever went from a three-year to a one-year cycle. In other words, I think I haven't yet come to any firm conclusion as to what I think has happened here yet, because I haven't weighed all the evidence in my mind. But it's certainly plausible that the original custom was not to have any cycle, that they would be reading selections. And that at some stage or other, the idea was that you had to read through the Torah from beginning to end, and then you had a cycle. And these cycles were developed independently in Babel and in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, they took the longer cycle, shorter parshiyot, and in Babel, they took the shorter cycle. It's also, what's complicated about this is that obviously our yearly cycle is closely correlated to our calendar. And therefore, it's reasonable to assume that there's some connection between the enactment of the fixed calendar and the enactment of the annual cycle. The trouble is that our traditions, as far as the enactment of the calendar are concerned, place all of them in Eretz Yisrael. That is, we're talking about the Hasheni, we're talking about the middle of the 5th century, perhaps, but it was an enactment in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the annual cycle of the readings on Shabbat was certainly principally Babylonian custom. So again, the entire resolve, on the one hand, the enactment in Eretz Yisrael with a cycle which probably was already in force around the same time as the fixed calendar was, but in Babel, they're not necessarily, it's not so easy. Okay, let's go on. Okay, Chosin Sheyakorei B'Torah B'Shabbat Pachot B'Shabbat Kuryot B'Shachach K'Savur Shekorah Sheva Sheva Yachzor Yikon Yimalei Sheva Kuryot Yavtir Shmini Uvat Sheyu K'Savur שיהיה כסדר עשרים ואחד פסוקים, ותן לו כל קורא וקורא שלושה שלושה. ואם פחות, יוסיף על הסדר הזה מפרשה אחרת. ואם הייתה הפרשה של ארבעה וחמישה פסוקים, קורא את כולה. אבל פרשה של שישה פסוקים קורא ומפסיק, לפי שיש בה שיהיו שתי קריאות. ואם קרא בשני ובחמישי, במרחב ושבת ובמנחה של יום טוב, פחות מעשרה פסוקים, יחזור ויקרא עד שישלים עשרה פסוקים. The evidence here, at least in this text, is fairly clear that they were reading they had a Tfiyat HaTorah in Yom Kippur. I mean, the English translation of the Masechet Sofrim cuts all of these references out because he can't abide by the idea that it was a Tfiyat HaTorah in Yom Kippur. However, the implication from all three of these next portions seem to indicate fairly clearly that they did have a Kriyat HaTorah in Yom Tov. Okay? Uvameh Koyin the Mincha Shel Yom Tov. What do you read in the Mincha of Yom Tov? B'Seder Shepasak Mefnei HaRegel. you continue reading in Manchan Yom Tov the Kriya that you would normally begin to read the next Shabbat. V'im kara ha-dileg al pasuk v'lo kara. Suppose someone skipped something. Im kara ha-sara v'ein ha-pasuk ha-medulag v'einehem eino chozer. V'im betoch ha-sara hu yachzor v'yekar ha-sara karoi al shitatan sha'im medalgin. If you skipped something, it doesn't matter so much, provided that you read a total of 10 psukim. But, zeh b'chol, uva mincha b'shabbat, uva mincha b'yom tov. All of this is presupposing that it's not the Kriya on Shabbat. In other words, suppose you happen to have skipped by accident, skipped the pasuk in the Kriya on Shabbat, on Mincha on Shabbat, or Monday or Thursday, then it doesn't matter. Or the Shabbat im shachach v'yavar pasuk yachad v'nizkalo, chozer v'kore, afilu le'achar she'etir v'navi v'etalel musay.
I can do that.
If someone finds out that how they remember that you skipped, nobody noticed until how do they prove it, right? The guy who's after davening with Musa, how are you going to convince someone that they skipped the pasuk in the week? The mafsik miyad v'korei she'ein mamidin v'tilat ha-musafim pa'am shniyah. You don't have to daven Musa again, but you certainly do have to read the missing pasuk in the Torah again.
You read the 10 psukim over again, or just that one that they missed?
Apparently, they would just read from the pasuk that they missed onward. To the end of it. Right, not just the end. Mafsikin bebrachot, in the reading of the brachot of the Torah, the ein mafsikin bekalot. You don't break the reading of the kalot up into two portions. Omar abchia baganda mai ta'am. Don't break the tochacha up into pieces. Amar Rabbi Levi, that's one interpretation. Rabbi Levi has a more poetic interpretation. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eino Din Shiyei Banai Mitkalalim Banim Mitbarech. It's not appropriate that someone should say a bracha in the middle of my klalot.